Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Matt, and it is prayer time again. Glad that you have tuned in this evening for our time together. As we go forward, I'd like you to have a number of things. Number one is your Bible, and specifically turned to the book of Romans, and within Romans, chapter 8. And there, in a moment, I'm going to read from verse 26. So the first thing is your Bible, turn to Romans 8, 26. The next thing is the prayer guide. That is available on the website or in the email that brought you this link. That can be easily downloaded and perhaps even printed. So if you would have your Bible available and also then the prayer guide in one format or another. The third thing would be what I'm holding in my hand, and that is now the biography of George Mueller. We've been working through his autobiography, but I have now moved to the biography written by A.T. Pearson. And there's going to be a portion of our time here spent together where we see in the life of George Mueller the integration of God's Word and prayer, which is instructive, not just knowing his history, knowing how other Christians have prayed at times, but instructive to Christians, for example, tonight, who are dedicated to praying. And hopefully that isn't limited just to tonight. To see the relationship of God's Word to prayer, the prayer life of a Christian. So let me do this. Let me read from Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and following. And you may follow along with me. I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now that is something to ponder, and hopefully it's open before you, and you can ponder it. You can even pause this message to just go before the Lord with this very potent piece of Scripture, and then as we go forward, to have a little bit of historical reference as to how Scripture was incorporated in the prayers of George Mueller and others that he looked up to, I would recommend this book if you can get it. It's entitled All Things Are Possible. Again, the biography of George Mueller. Well, if you're back, having had paused it and spent some time there with Romans chapter 8, that is something that we often Well, I hope it's often, at least in my mind it's often, that we will be perusing that portion of God's Word to understand that when we are praying in Jesus' name, we are accompanied, we are assisted. Jesus told us he wouldn't be leaving us alone, and in fact he hasn't. We do have his Spirit who is very active in accompanying us in prayer, accompanying even our prayers with his own. So I'm going to turn to page 140 now in the autobiography. And regarding scriptures and prayer, why don't you just sit back and listen for just a little bit. Perhaps the greatest advantage will be that the Holy Scriptures will thus suggest the very words which become the dialect of prayer. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, neither what nor how to pray. But here is the Spirit's own inspired utterance, and if the praying be molded on the model of his teaching, how can we go astray? Here is our God-given liturgy and litany, a divine prayer book. We have here God's promises, precepts, warnings, and counsels, not to speak of all the Spirit-inspired literal prayers therein contained, speaking of the Holy Scriptures. And as we reflect upon these, our prayers take their cast in this matrix. We turn precept and promise, warning and counsel into supplication, with the assurance that we cannot be asking anything that is not according to his will, for are we not turning his own word into prayer? So Mr. Mueller found it to be. In meditating over Hebrews 8, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, translating it into prayer, he besought God with the confidence that the prayer was already granted, that, as Jesus had already in his love and power supplied all that was needful in the same unchangeable love and power, he would so continue to provide. And so a promise was not only turned into a prayer, but into a prophecy, an assurance of blessing, and a river of joy at once poured into and flowed through his soul. I will continue for just a moment. If this is enough for you to be saturated, that's fine. Just pause and get praying, and that is A-okay. But I am going to read just a little further because this is pretty foundational as far as my own prayer habit has formed and is forming, and I hope yours as well. So let me read on. The prayer habit, on the knees, with the word open before the disciple, has thus an advantage which it is difficult to put into words. It provides a sacred channel of approach to God. The inspired scriptures form the vehicle of the Spirit in communicating to us the knowledge of the will of God. If we think of God on the one side and man on the other, the Word of God is the mode of conveyance from God to man, of his own mind and heart. It therefore becomes a channel of God's approach to us, a channel prepared by the Spirit for the purpose, and unspeakably sacred as such. When, therefore, the believer uses the words of God as the guide to determine both the spirit and the dialect of his prayer, he is inverting the process of divine revelation and using the channel of God's approach to him as the channel of his approach to God. How can such use of God's word fail to help and strengthen spiritual life? What medium or channel of approach could so ensure in the praying soul both an acceptable frame and language taught of the Holy Spirit? If the first thing is not to pray but to hearken, this surely is hearkening for God to speak to us, that we may know how to speak to him. Oh, do you see the dynamic that is ours in Jesus when he opens before us this avenue of prayer and entreats us to walk upon it, and that together, not just with one another, but with him and by his Spirit? This is quite a blessing to be gathered together in prayer, don't you think? Whether you do or you don't, it is. And so God in his word has called us to pray and has revealed himself, his mind, his heart. He's also let us know that he's listening for the prayers of his people. And so we are given that assurance before we even pray that we will be heard. But of course, we will be heard when we pray according to the will of God. And again, that is what Scripture indeed is. So the more we meditate on God's word, the more we have it open before us, the more we allow the Spirit to press that into our hearts, we are molded into the image of our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, Jesus. And so as we pray, may it be that we are more and more given to pray like him. So as we set ourselves to the task, I would have you move now to the prayer guide. Familiarize yourself with it. If there's more than one of you, then decide how you would like to cover that which is contained therein. This is our minimum. These are the things that we believe as a church we ought to be praying for regularly, and especially when we're gathered together for the express purpose of praying. There are a few blank areas there. Those would be for non-believers and for additions to the prayer list, things that you know of that we didn't at time of publication or which are private and can be incorporated into your prayer time together this evening. However it is, this is an offering that we make together. It is an endeavor that we undertake together continually, including this moment, in Jesus' name. So together, let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Pray with me.